Turn tonight in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 18. First Peter chapter 3, verse number 18. Stand please while I read the word of God. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, his life for mine, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickeneth by the Spirit. Quickeneth means made alive. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, and thank you tonight, God, for all the singing of the songs, and what a blessing it's been to our hearts just to be in the house of God. I thank you, Lord, for everyone that's come this way, and then we not forget to pray for those who ask us to pray for them. And Lord, some that are sick and some that are struggling in situations, and I pray in Jesus' name that you would help the sick and touch according to your will for your glory. I pray you'd help those who are struggling with situations and decisions and things in their lives. You give that direction from the Lord by the word and by your spirit. And Father, we'll thank you. Then I pray, Father, that you'd help us tonight as we think about the need of this congregation. And Lord, we're remembering tonight the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus. And I pray tonight, there's one here that does not know Jesus Christ personally as their Lord and their Savior. I pray tonight be the night. The Holy Spirit bring real conviction, draw them to Jesus, and I pray they'll come and be saved. Then, Lord, we ask you to help us examine our own hearts as your people that we may see ourselves and help us do what we need to do tonight. Now in the preaching, I need a touch of God. I pray for illumination of the Holy Spirit and divine touch. Help us physically, spiritually, emotionally to preach as you'd have us to do. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. In verse 18 says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins. I'm glad once suffered for sin. Hebrews put it, but this man by one sacrifice forever, he paid that price and sat down at the right hand of God. I'm thankful for that truth. For the just, for the unjust, that he might, now notice this phrase, that he might bring us to God. I want to give you three things, purposes for the cross. And now there's a whole lot more we could expand on, but I just want to quickly tonight think about three reasons for the cross or purpose for the cross that we can think of here tonight. And right here in this verse of scripture that I read in our text, it says to bring us to God, to bring us to God. And I got to thinking about that. Thank God he brought me to God. The only way I could come to God was by the cross of Calvary. That's the only way. Men try to get to God every kind of way under heaven, but they can't get to God except to come by the cross. That is the only way there is to get to God. And you remember Adam and Eve when they had sinned in the garden and God came in the cool of the day and he cried. And I got to noticing that this afternoon. I looked at it afresh and I got to noticing that here, I don't know what God had said to them before. I don't know what God had talked with them about. I don't know how their fellowship had been. They've been fellowshipping. The Bible said they came in the cool of the day, a fellowship with them. But I know the first thing he said after they sinned was, Adam, where art thou? That's the first words he spoke. And asking the question, where was he? God knew where he was, but he wanted him to find out where he was. But Adam said, we hid ourselves because we'd sinned. He said, how'd you know you sinned? Have you partaken of the fruit I told you not to? I'm putting that in my words now. But Adam answered and said, that woman you gave me. And as soon as they asked her about it, she said, it's that serpent that beguiled me. Amen. Now, we've been doing that ever since in the world, trying to pass a buck on somebody else. And Adam said, we hid because we were afraid, because we had sinned. We were naked. And so he realized that fact. And God had to, now they sewed fig leaves together, but I noticed that Adam did not say, we've got fig leaves sewed together and covered ourselves. He didn't even mention fig leaves. The Bible tells us they did that, But when God came on the scene and God asked him what he'd done, he didn't even talk about fig leaves. He just simply said that we were naked and hid ourselves. And whatever religion you have or whatever good works you got, whatever you're trying to get to heaven on, it won't do any good when it comes time to meet God. When it comes time to meet God, it's going to take a blood sacrifice. A blood sacrifice. And God took an animal, slew an animal, blood was shed, made coats of skin, and covered him up. I say hallelujah. I'm glad for the blood-bought way. I'm glad I'm in that way. Amen. Got saved by the grace of God, washed in the blood of Jesus, and I'm glad God made the way for me. Job cried and said, oh, that I had a daysman, somebody to go between. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 5. The Bible says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. That's the only way to get to God is by Jesus Christ and come to God. So I pray that God would help us to see. We came. He died on the cross so we could come to God. We couldn't come to God without the blood. Hallelujah. That's good rain. We need it. Amen. And can't help but hear it. The Bible says there shall be showers of blessing. So I'm hearing showers outside. I pray tonight we'll feel showers on the inside. And God just bless our hearts being here. Now, I'm going to try to be quick tonight on this. We're going to take communion here in a few minutes, but the cross of Calvary, the reason for the cross and the purpose for that cross was to bring us to God. I'm glad that God made a way for me to get to God. I could not get to God by myself. You couldn't, anyone else could, but God made a way at Calvary. The blood was shed so we could come to God. Number two, he died at Calvary so that we might be redeemed from all iniquity. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, who gave himself for our sins, they might redeem us from all iniquity. I say hallelujah. I'm glad for that all, A-L-L, all iniquity. Let me just plug this in right here. Sin is a transgression of the law. Iniquity, it deals with the depraved inner nature of man that's on the inside. It is that real person inside, the heart condition. And I thank God that we like sheep have gone astray. But God hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. That is our heart condition, our sinful life, that depraved nature that we have. That God didn't just deal with the symptoms at Calvary. He dealt with the problem. And the problem was we're depraved creatures. And we couldn't get to God. And we couldn't help ourselves. Iniquity had us. And we were away from God. But God moved on the scene and intervened in our lives and forgave us of all our iniquity at Calvary. Took our place, paid that price. Not just forgive me my sins, I committed the foolish thought and all that, but to deal with my heart and deal with my depraved nature and change me for his glory. Brother Tim was up here a while ago and preached a good message while he's at it, but talking about the fact that 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I am glad for that truth and that reality. God made him. He took my iniquity, covers all my sin, but took that sin nature I had, that problem I had in my heart, and nailed it to the cross of Calvary and paid my price, so that I might be forgiven and redeemed, is bought back. He purchased me out of the slave market and put me in the Rock of Ages, and thank God I am redeemed tonight by the blood of the Lamb. Thank God for it. Number three, bring us unto sonship with God. Aren't you glad for the cross that brings us unto sonship? I'm glad, thank God, that he got me to God. I'm glad that he forgave me of all my iniquity. But thank God he brought me into sonship with God. Sonship with God. In Galatians 4 and verse 4 and 5, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem them from under the law, that we might receive the redemption, as sons. I am glad that we received the adoption of sons. Let me get that verse right. I got it. Galatians 4 and verse 4 and 5. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. That adoption of sons is where it really got my attention. He died not only to get me to God, not only forgive me, deal with my sin nature, my problem of iniquity, but he died so that I'd enter into sonship with God, that adoption. Adoption is when you're brought into family. A child that is brought into a family that does not deserve the love of that family, but that family, because they do love and do care, they reach out and get that child and adopt them into their family. And that child becomes a full heir as much as any child in that family. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad, praise God. And I've got the adoption across the Calvary. Jesus paid my price so that I could enter into adoption. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 16 for him, the Spirit itself beareth witness of our spirit that we are the children of God. If children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs of Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, we shall also be glorified together. For I reckon the suffering this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. I'll say hallelujah to the Lamb forever. I want you to know I'm an heir and a joint heir with Christ Jesus. Now you think about that tonight. I mean, I don't know what you've ever inherited or ever got. But you think about, I don't know what you're looking forward to someday receiving, but you think about this. The Bible said that we're heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Everything that he has, I've got. You say, preacher, now, you're a little far out on the limb. Don't you worry about it. Most people haven't found a tree yet. I may be on a limb, but praise God, it's a good limb to be on. It's a solid limb of the Word of God. God said that we's heirs and joint heirs with Christ. A joint heir is one that jointly receives as much as the other one does. Hallelujah. I can't get over that. If I'm an heir and a joint heir with Christ, and that means everything that he has, I have. I can't hardly take that in. I can't hardly stand that truth, that reality, because I realize the fact I can't even comprehend what it is, much less take it in. But I want you to know I can comprehend enough to know it's wonderful. It's wonderful to know that Jesus Christ is an heir. I'm a joint heir with him. And he and I together, praise God, I'm the bride, he's a bridegroom. And together we're going to enjoy eternity forever and forever. Everything that he has out there, I believe these universes out there we don't even know about. Whatever, I'm not in Star Wars and all that. I don't know what's out there. I just know this, praise God. Anything that's out there, my God made it. And I'm an heir and a joint heir to it. Amen. And so I believe forever we'll be learning about him and enjoying him. And tonight, when we partake of that the bread which represents the body, the juice which represents the blood, when we partake of that, may we remember the fact he did that to bring us to God. He did that so he could redeem us from all iniquity. He did that so he could put us in as adopted sons into the family of God. And tonight, we're heirs and joint heirs. I say hallelujah. When we partake of that tonight, we're partaking of that one that paid the price that made it all possible so that you and I might can enjoy what we're looking forward to enjoying someday. Are you saved tonight? Do you really know Jesus tonight? Is he your Savior and your Lord? If you died right now, do you know you go to heaven? Amen. If you don't, then I pray tonight you get saved. Then tonight, he made the way so you can come to God. Then if you're not saved, I pray you'll get saved. If you are saved and your life is lived in rebellion, or you're living away from God, you may not be in a full state of rebellion, but you're like I preached this morning, those sitting just inside the gate, you're not got too far with God, you just want to get saved and that's it. But God's dealing with your heart about getting close to God. Then I pray tonight you'll listen to God and obey God, do what God says. And then tonight, think about it. You're an heir and a joint heir with Christ. That means we ought to want to have the same mind he has, think like he thinks, and ask God to help us love the unlovable and help people get to Jesus. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you tonight for the privilege we have to partake of the Lord's Supper and to think about the body that was broken, the blood that was shed to bring us to God, to redeem us from all iniquity. Thank you, Lord, for dealing with our sin nature and taking it to the cross of Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for helping us with our depravity when we couldn't help ourselves. Lord, thank you for loving us and saving us. And Father, I pray tonight, if there's a person here not saved, they'll get saved. Anybody here needs to do anything for God, they'll do it tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.